Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
It's kind of hard to get your head around how much money a billion quid is, but do you have to be a nasty piece of work to get to that level? Good Bad Billionaire is a BBC Sounds podcast that asks that question by looking at the stories that took the likes of Taylor Swift from millions to billions. Well, co-host Zing Sing is on the line now just to chat about it. Hi Zing, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really interested in this because it's just fascinating. It really is. And we need to start with Kim Kardashian. Not the richest person you've covered, but maybe one of the most amazing. I mean, what is her talent apart from, you know, her selling herself?
I mean, I like to say she's kind of shameless in a good way, although, you know, you might disagree on whether that's good or not. She can literally monetize anything. She can pick herself up and start over. You know, she got married to Chris Humphries way back when, and the wedding only lasted 72 days, but she ended up earning $17 million from that wedding just from just selling bits and pieces of it. She sold exclusive photos to People magazine for $2.5 million. You know, this is a woman who is not embarrassed, not ashamed to basically just kind of pass up bits of her life and leave it open to public scrutiny. And she makes a lot of money off it.
Okay. You also covered Rihanna, which is an incredible story. How did she go from pop star, who was a victim of domestic violence and bad financial advice in 2009, to billionaire?
Oh, I mean, it's an amazing trajectory. And it really starts because she had a total change in management. You know, she really took charge of her career. Before that point, she was kind of like a pop star in the big pop star machine. You know, she had a lot of stuff that was done for her, lots of bad contracts, bad deals. You know, her accountants, for instance, were getting 23% of everything she was making off her tours. She was only getting 6%. So she got rid of them. She signed with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. Jay-Z has always been really supportive of her. And, you know, she became much more savvier. She wouldn't sign her rights away for a bad deal. You know, when she started Fenty Beauty, she had a 50% stake in it. So when it made over $500 million in the first year, she got half of that. So okay, she became a much savvier operator.
She's doing good now. She learned her lesson. And that's the way it goes sometimes. And a big part of Rihanna's story is another billionaire, Jay-Z. Where did you land him in the good or bad stakes, considering like he was a drug dealing cheater who shot his own brother?
I mean, I have to confess here, I am a huge Jay-Z fan of his music, so I was very biased coming into this episode.
Yeah.
But for me, he's a good guy. You know, Obama said that Jay-Z is the embodiment of the American dream. You know, he came from a really rough background. It wasn't unusual for his friends in New York to get shot. He grew up in the projects, and then he kind of left behind that violence, became a business mogul and a billionaire in his own right. I think that's really inspirational to a lot of people. And, you know, let's face it, Hard Knock Life is an absolute banger.
Yeah, it is a banger. You're right, Zing, absolute banger. Moving away from, well, your traditional celebrities just for a second, you also looked at El Capo, who was more of an industrial drug dealer. How many murders is he supposed to be linked to?
Okay, so he reportedly killed 2,000 people. That is a lot of people. And also, that's just, you know, people who were gunned down and shot and murdered in all kinds of horrible, wow, violent ways. Wow. You're not even touching the surface of how many people, you know, his drugs affected, whose lives their drugs changed through addiction, through overdose. I mean, he is a bad guy. I'm not ashamed to say that he was one of the bad billionaires.
Were you kind of nervous doing that episode?
I mean, do they get podcasts in prison? I really hope not.
You also looked at Rupert Murdoch. As a journalist, was he even more dangerous to cover than El Capo? What do you think?
No. The thing is, I think that a lot of these billionaires, they kind of like being criticized and being held up to the spotlight. You know, they kind of take it as part of their deal. You know, I think if you watch Succession and you see how Logan sort of gets off and the way people kind of fear him and talk about him, that is quite, you know, common to a lot of billionaires. I think Murdoch's no different, really. I mean, if we weren't talking about him, he'd probably be concerned.
Of all the billionaires you've covered, why do you feel Murdoch is the most powerful of all?
Oh, I mean, even in the United Kingdom, right? You can call up prime ministers and politicians and they will literally just lay out the red carpet. You know, famously in 1992, The Sun, which is a Murdoch paper, claimed that they won it for the Conservatives. In the run-up to the 97 election, Tony Blair openly was quoting Rupert Murdoch, and, you know, Labour won the election subsequently. You know, I think this is a really, really powerful guy, and politicians still fear the press.
They sure do. Let's talk about Bill Gates, an interesting one, because having apparently saved millions of children's lives, his philanthropy is off the scale. But he still kind of comes across as a total knob. I mean, why? Why is that?
I mean, he is not a people person. He's very abusive. You know, there are videos of him. There's one of him doing a deposition in a lawsuit that was brought against Microsoft. And he comes off as such an obnoxious guy. But also, this isn't uncommon for billionaires. You know, a lot of them are not people persons. People. They're really not good with people. A lot of them are much better with ideas. They're much better with money. So in that sense, Bill Gates being a knob, that's kind of almost par for course.
Okay. And for lots of people, I suppose the billionaire of the moment is Taylor Swift. How would you contrast her path to a billion compared to Jay-Z?
Oh, completely different. I mean, she had a very middle class upbringing. Her parents were really supportive. You know, at one point, they even moved states to Tennessee to support her career. But also the important distinction here is that she made a billion off music, you know, not brand extensions like alcohol, which Jay-Z has. Jay-Z also has tons of investments in tech companies. You know, he's an investor in Uber. Taylor Swift made that billion, that first billion, off music completely. And she's the only musician to have done so.
Okay, interesting. You've covered way more than the names we've just mentioned in the podcast. It's fascinating. So I have to ask you, which of them, like, would you most like to interview or kind of meet socially if your safety was guaranteed, and why?
I would personally love to meet Rihanna, because I can tell, you can tell, she loves a good time. She loves fun. I would just want to hang out with her and just, you know, chill with Rihanna. That sounds great to me. But, you know, I would also quite like to meet Taylor Swift and just ask her, you know, Taylor, tell me what went down with Matty Healy. Spill the beans.
Let us know. Let us know. Amazing. It's a fascinating podcast. Really great work. Zing, thank you so much for joining us today. And hopefully we'll get to chat again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. There we go. That was Zing Ting, co-host of Good Bad Billionaire, which is on BBC Sounds or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jem Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.